They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Well, you silly fools are not crazy! Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth! Truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive!
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a podcast brought to you by the New World Order.
You will be the first one dead, not a mouthpiece for my regime.
Shut the fuck up. I was going for a bit.
A bit of dumb. No one cares.
You truly are an asshole. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. I'm your host and lead conspiracy spreader or debunker this week. We shall see.
Either way, I just hope we all have fun. And cheese muffins.
That's the spirit. You've heard from Conspiracy Bot and now Kyle. C-Bot is the robot I built to help with the show, and instead he just helps himself to my beer and my Wi-Fi.
You're welcome.
And Kyle is his minion who just is kind of around. Always. So yeah, but I have someone on tap to help with host duties this week, all the way from Pennsylvania. And the Project Skeptic podcast, please help me welcome Mr. Jay Settlemeyer.
I hope he likes beans.
Welcome to the show. What's going on, guys? What's up?
Oh, man, how's it in Pennsylvania? Is it as chocolatey as I hear, you know, through the grapevine?
It's cold and windy 364 days a year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Have you gone to the Hershey? That's the only thing I know about Pennsylvania. is Hershey is there.
Yeah, Hershey Park is, it's amazing. We were there actually pre-COVID and, you know, taking my daughters down and riding the rides and just seeing all the factory stuff. It's really cool.
They have a amusement park, right? Like with rides and shit. Like, is that correct?
Full on amusement park, you know, like roller coasters.
Chocolate themed roller coasters and chocolate themed exhibitions and chocolate themed religions and everything you can dream of in Pennsylvania.
There's even like Hershey Kisses walking around.
What's that?
There's even like Hershey Kisses that walk around and in the park.
I'm gonna give me some kisses. Well, like I said, Jay, welcome to the show.
I hope he likes beans.
I have no idea what that even fucking means. He said it a couple times now. But more importantly, onto you just started Project Skeptic. Tell us about it. What's going on with that?
Yeah, we started a little while ago now. We're a local.
I just started. Don't fuck with my flow here, Jay. Come on now.
We just started. We're a weekly or semi-weekly oddities podcast. We cover all kinds of stuff. We do a midweek about Pennsylvania legends and lore and stuff. So that's always cool to dive down into. So
we just the chocolate monster, and that's really all I can think of right now. Is probably in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Do you guys have your own Bigfoot and everything? Like everyone seems to have their own.
Yeah, we have Bigfoot. We also have a lot of Dogman sightings.
Ooh,
yeah. Man. So we did that a couple of weeks ago, and I really was blown away on how many actual sightings there were in Pennsylvania.
Are they as cool as the ones out west where they're like hanging out smoking cigarettes like they're on break with Skinwalker Ranch?
No, these are all just, I saw something cross the road and it looked like a dog, but there's hundreds of them.
Run of the mill dogmen, not the upper management dogmen that get out and skinwalk. No. Is what you're saying. Well, you can't have everything in one state. So I guess that's where they draw the line. Not to be outdone by dogmen. It is conspiracy week this week on Hysteria 51. Or should I say obvious truth week, depending on which side of the coin of this story you fall on. I think by the end of it, you're going to see which side of this coin I fall on. But Project Bluebeam is something that you came up with or you said, let's do this. And it is a code for the NASA plot to create a new world order. And we're not talking about like NWO and WCW. We're talking like real new world order shit.
Yeah.
What was the draw for you? What made you go, I want to talk this?
Well, anytime you can throw NASA into something, I think that's the best angle to go at, right?
Well, if you're a flat earther, they can wedge NASA and their hate for it into just about everything. So yeah, we got that going for us.
When you're saying we were talking back and forth about like different topics and stuff, and I was like, what like conspiracy has every conspiracy in it?
Well, yeah, and as we go over this one, you're going to find out that it just like if someone says someone farted in Libya in the 80s, they'd be like, that was part of it. You're going to find out why they used that to be a part of this. You're right. This one is just running on all cylinders. And the guy who kind of came up with it was just branching out. He's another Bill Cooper who was also just as pumping out books and crazy. We're going to get down this whole rabbit hole. And this crazy is what our hero was going to have everyone believe. Like I said, he was pumping all this out. One Canadian journalist and self-proclaimed conspiracy theorist extraordinaire. His name was Sergei Monast. That's a name.
Sorry for the giggle, but every time you say Monast, I just giggle every time.
Monasty. Sergei Monasty. Yeah, and he kicked this bad boy, this whole idea, or this, not idea, this truth fact into the world. Kind of back in 1994 is when he wrote his book on it. He published his beliefs in a book entitled Project Bluebeam. So the title was firing all. Yeah, title was firing on all cylinders there. But he had been kicking around before, and he was in these inner circles of these conspiracies. The theory itself, and here's why you're going to see what Jay said. Everything can be a part of it as we break it down. It says NASA and the United States are planning to create a new world order by using technologically simulated mind control to shape a global new age religion. That's very vague on purpose, because then you can kind of throw a lot of things into it, aka use technology to fake a bunch of shit so that we all fall for it and bow to them as our new masters.
No need to bow to me. Your death is honor enough.
Oh, at least he's consistent. Anyway, this all came to be passed around a few years ago again, because it's been for a few years ago. I don't know if you remember, there was these floating city stuff in the sky. It was going around, and we'll get into that. And it's also been passed around more recently, because I'm not sure if you know this or not, but we're in a pandemic. We're living out in the plague lands right now.
It's the end times.
In case you'd forgotten, boom, the blue gene. Oh, there we go. The blue beam theory once again came in to be passed around and mentioned as the scenario described in the book by Sergei. See, the Antichrist uses this method of epidemics for establishing control over humans in the third final phase of his plan, which we're going to go down that road. Is that what's happening? It's just all made up, and we're in the New World Order hologram version of the world.
Yeah, if I haven't heard that epidemics to establish control over humans more times in the last two and a half years, I don't know if I've heard anything.
Right. Little known, the Antichrist, Dr. Fauci.
Don't.
That's what's going on. The believers in this conspiracy, these theorists that believe in it, believe that this process has already began and we're in the throes of it. It's exciting stuff we're going to break down this week. Sky shit, conspiracies, evil NASA, epidemics, alien invasions, earthquakes,
nukes,
new messiahs, yeah, the Antichrist, everything. We're firing all cylinders. I'm really happy you brought this one to the attention.
I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, let's go to break real quick. And when we come back, what the hell is that in the sky that they're talking about? Who is this Sergei character? And a lot more. That's coming up on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me, I'm O'Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know. It, and,
yeah.
if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Conspiracies are so tasty because it's one of those things where I need to rephrase that. Sometimes conspiracies come because people really believe. They believe that something is happening. I like to think other times people just go, what's fucking crazy? I'm going to put that out there and see if anyone bites. Do you think that happens more than the other, or is it more people legitimately believe? A conspiracy is not in and of itself wrong. It just became a kind of a 4-letter word in years as technology has made the world smaller. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you see it a lot. Like, it's always something that some group of people or some person or something can latch onto a piece of it. And then it kind of makes itself eventually evolves into an entire Reddit forum, you know, it's always right. Something like that. And yeah, so there's parts of stuff that is believable. And then there's parts that even myself, I'm like, come on. really?
Well, and I think, and you brought up Reddit, and I think that's an important thing in all these conspiracies. Now there's the Reddit and 4chan, and there's been all these message boards in the past, but
yeah,
it's a way to rally the troops, so to speak, and people start throwing in their own side thinking and things, and it just, it's almost like, you know, and they tell two friends, and they tell, it grows and grows and grows. And sometimes you get stuff from Reddit, like when they shortstop, you know, they short buy like GameStop and people get rich off it. And then other times you get people in Dallas waiting for JFK Jr. to come out.
Yeah. There's always that one wild story out of Reddit, like the staircases in the woods stories that are right. All over Reddit.
Yeah. Just, I was out there. I was, and I had been sexually abused by Bigfoot, and I saw a staircase, and I'm not sure which was weirder to me. The
exactly.
You know, can you tell us where it was? I don't remember. When was it? I'm foggy on those ID, those details.
Yeah. Did you have your $1,500 phone in your pocket that you could have taken a picture with?
The lovemaking had taken so long, the battery had died by then. Anyway, let's travel way back to 1994. Like we mentioned, Sergey, he published his book, Project Blue Beam, back then. And he claims in it that NASA, never a straight answer if you're playing along at home, with the help of the United Nations. So this is a multinational thing. We keep saying NASA because that's what he used, but it's not a one and done type thing. Was attempting to implement a new age religion with the Antichrist at its head and start a new world order.
I'm listening.
Via, wait for it, a technologically simulated second coming of Christ.
Meth. I would have just gone with a non-simulated genocide of all meat sex.
Right. I mean, at least he's, you know, more forthcoming with it. You know, he's not beating around the bush with pyrotechnics in the sky. He's just killing people.
It's easier, I guess.
Yeah. Why, you didn't ask? Well, I'm glad you didn't ask. The Sergmeister believed that generating a global new age religion was the only thing that would make a worldwide dictatorship possible. And it's interesting. This was 94, and you got to think back into like the 80s. Even at that time, Ronnie Reagan was talking about how, like, he thought that the only thing that might bring together the world was a threat from beyond it, aliens and things like that.
That was always my feeling, too. Like, what would bring everybody together? I guess I don't know if it's from growing up watching movies like that, but that was always like the one thing that would bring everybody to, like, Independence Day. You know, everybody was together.
It's our Independence Day. Yeah. We need that speech moment. Well, he said that there were specific reasons that they were going to do these, that they were going to bring the Antichrist. And I say the Antichrist, it's just, that's that they called, that was their figurehead. That was the person that they were bringing in. And because it's a talking point, you can use that term. He said it was for like a four things they were trying to do. What were those four things, Jay?
Numero uno.
To abolish all Christian traditions, religions, in order to replace them by one world religion based on the cult of man.
That's like one fell swoop, like no more peace in the Middle East. Iron Man, peace in our time. Well, you could do it by abolishing everything by force or by brainwashing, I guess. What else?
Dose.
To abolish all national identity and national pride in order to establish a world identity and world pride.
That almost doesn't sound so bad because, you know, I mean, it's worldwide socialism, but instead of like fighting from borders, you're fighting for one another. But, well, we're going to get into why it's bad.
Three.
To abolish the family as known today in order to replace it by individuals all working for the glory of one world government.
Oh, it's communism. Okay, there we go. See, we got to the bad pretty quick. My buddy has a shirt and it's got Stalin on it. And it says, dark humor is like bread. Not everyone gets it. And like that's kind of one of these things. Anyway, what's the fourth quatrain?
I thought you were gonna say my buddy's a communist whenever you started.
My buddy who is a communist.
So number four here, to destroy all individual artistic and scientific creative works to implement a world's government one mindset.
Oh man, so that sounds like no individuality. It's like equilibrium. Do you ever see that movie?
We're all just kind of walking around like aimlessly. We all have one agenda.
Yeah. That's a scary, I mean, if you're going to come up with a boogeyman, that's a pretty good boogeyman, which is the government coming for everything. Your religion, your national identity, your family identity, and then eventually your individual artistic, scientific, everything, your education, everything they're going to wipe away from you because the government is going to do this.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a cyberpunk game that came out last year.
Yeah.
It didn't run very well. Like everybody had their own job and their own thing to do every day.
I mean, if you're going to make someone hate something, that's a good way to do it. But hold your horses. It's not a one and done. It's not an easy thing to accomplish all these things. We're in luck, though. Sergei Monast, he speculated that Project Bluebeam would be carried out in four different steps. And he's all about these fours, I'm finding out. So step numero uno is the breaking down of all archaeological knowledge. And this one's an interesting one. How do you do that? Well, this deals with the setup of earthquakes at certain precise locations on the planet, where supposedly he said, and this is a quote, new discoveries will suddenly explain the wrong meaning of all major religions, basic doctrines. That's a hell of a statement.
Enter George Tsoukalos. Like, that's just what that feels like to me. We're going to find stuff that new discoveries that suddenly explain.
That in Pumapunku, you're right. He said by providing evidence to falsify the teachings of all major religions, people will be more likely to accept the new age religion when it's formed. It's almost too easy. You just throw a few fake earthquakes and they open up and here's some new inner, I don't know, are they seals with are they paper, gold leaf tablets? I don't know. Just they're going to find something.
Dead Sea Scrolls.
Exactly. And in precise locations all over the planet. Now, that's an interesting thing. And earthquakes are so easy to fake. So there you go. Number two, and it gets better as we go. A gigantic space PowerPoint presentation with 3D holographic laser projections. I might have made up the PowerPoint part, but this is set up by using a gigantic space show with 3D hologram images of whatever they need, along with lasers and sounds to seduce people into believing in this new god that they're putting forward.
I think that was a Russian supercomputer, too, that was the...
Right.
That's what was projecting everything into the sky.
He said the show will consist of laser projection of multiple holographic images to different parts of the world, each receiving a different message according to predominating religion, national religious faith, etc. From the depths of space, astonished followers of the various creeds will witness, now this is quotes from him, will witness their own returned messiah in spectacularly convincing lifelike realness.
All hail our new overlord, Clippy.
I told you I made up the PowerPoint joke, but I kind of deserve that. Anyway, boom, all these depictions of the messiah would then merge into one. That not of Clippy, but of an alcoholic robot with a toaster for a head.
No shit.
No, I'm fucking with you. But isn't that a way to, like, I mean, if you could do that on a global scale, you'd get a lot of people, right?
Yeah. Get everybody all at once. You know, look at this. But he went on to say, this one god will in fact be the Antichrist, who will explain the various scriptures have been misunderstood.
Oh, yeah. Well, oops. Silly us, right?
that all religions of all are responsible for turning brother against brother, nation against nation. Therefore, the world's religions must be abolished to make way for the golden age.
Ooh! I mean, it sounds all flowery and nice, and I'm just here to help. Yuck, 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 you know?
Yeah, I mean, how many wars have been fought over religion and nations?
I can't think of any, ever. Right? You know, like, seriously, though, like, that is the the tie that binds throughout the entire planet is hatred over different beliefs.
Yeah, because everybody wants more.
I mean, I think even more than race, it's probably been religion over over the centuries and things like that. Or they probably go hand in hand, because just like that, one race has a different religion than another race, and therefore they're kind of tied together. So, you know, and maybe that's where maybe the hatred for religion stems from one or the other. Who knows? People are terrible. And we probably do need a real external threat, not these holograms. But I digress.
Yeah, I'm voting Asteroid 2024.
Right. Well, now comes the fun. The third entry into the steps here. Step number three is telepathic two-way communication. He said NASA will use low-frequency radio waves to telepathically communicate with humans in an attempt to shape their beliefs to match those taught by the New Age religion.
You know what we call that? Mind-taking, baby! Except no substitute!
Fucking right, you know? Oh, man. Thank you, Harvey Birdman. Actually, that is Mintok, the mind taker. He said the microwave beam generated by the device is moderated at audio frequencies and can broadcast voices directly into the brain. It's a shame that we've had this since at least 94 and they're not using it at least for sports announcements and shit like that these days. Right.
I like how he said too, that the two-way frequency, this is 94. He didn't have a Nextel phone that chirps you two-way yet. Yeah. Either.
Oh man, I forgot about chirp. Remember that? Oh yeah. It's amazing how much technology they throw into a lot of these things that is just accepted as it's out there. And I mean, we're not using it. We've had it forever, and we don't use it in our everyday lives because reasons. And yeah. I'm sure that happens a vast amount, but not to the extent that we see in a lot of conspiracy stories.
Yeah, if you had this mind control and direct voice, you know, stuff like even soldiers on a battlefield, I'm sure that'd be a lot more useful than a satellite phone.
Right. Well, if you ever read a comic or watch a DC movie or Marvel, you know, so in Marvel, in the movies, you know, they have their little earpieces. In DC, they have Martian Manhunter who mind links everyone and they can just talk to one another that way. Yeah. a little nerding out there a little bit, but yeah, it makes sense that, and there's our extraterrestrial threat. It's Martian Manhunter. I maybe just reading some DC comics and ran with this. I don't know. All right. Well, we got to get down to step four here. The last step. Universal supernatural manifestations using electronic means. Now, I'm very sad. I read everywhere. I was really hoping for electric Sasquatch, all, you know, just like they had in Montauk from the Montauk chair. Not even one
mention.
It wasn't meant to be. I couldn't find it anywhere. But you might say it's even better. They're going to use these manifestations with electronic means for an alien invasion via holograms to be looking like it's killing cities, because that's, you know, easy to do.
You know, like the Tupac hologram a couple of years ago.
Right. Except for he's, you know, Threepac from the planet Venus and he's here for blood. He's not a good looking like the last Venusian bastard that we had here. He's here for our damnation. It's here. Here's what he said. He said the second is to make the Christians believe to a major rapture with the supposedly divine intervention of an alleged good alien force coming to save the people from a brutal satanic attack. Oh man, this is for as far out as it is, it really dives back into religion on a lot of this. And the third orientation in the fourth step, this is a quote from him, is a mixture of electronic and supernatural forces. The goal of this one deals with global satanic ghosts being projected all around the world in order to push all population on the edge, to the edge, and to drown into a wave of suicide, killings, and permanent psychological disorder so that we're on a whole, easy to manipulate and to bend to the will of NASA, the UN, and the New World Order.
I'd like the electronic satanic ghost. So every piece of electronic would have this little piece in it that, you know, pops out a little ghost. And
well, like much plays. Like the tiny Stay Puft people in Ghostbusters Afterlife. What they didn't account for is we just thought it was really cute. It's they're trickle feeding us with these movies like this. That's how this works. Lots of pay no attention to the man behind or government behind the curtain stuff going on here, because holy hell, that's a lot of shit to have happen and a lot of shit to be coordinated in, a lot of shit to have been built. These giant hologram producing machines and these giant machines that are causing earthquakes and these giant machines that are out causing sending out the vibrations and the frequencies and stuff. I guess we know where that $2.3 trillion is missing from Donald Rumsfeld. It's break time. When we come back, is there any evidence to this stuff? Because people are still bringing this up to this day. That's, oh, and is he crazy? Was he crazy? What happened to him? That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51. Jay, evidence? Question mark. All of it. You see how I went up? You see how I went up there? Yeah. You know, what the fuck evidence is there for this? Anything at all?
Oh, yeah, tons. Oh, the shit you see in the sky.
Duh, of course. Right?
Why wouldn't it be? The key part to this is the holograms. Everything revolves around these holograms being in the sky and everybody from every religion being able to see them at one
time. Yeah, that's the point of this, I think, that I hope we've gotten across, is this is a mass, not hallucination, a mass, what's the word, event.
Yes.
Global spanning event.
Yeah, because you're going to see everybody. You're going to see Jesus and Vishnu and everybody from this.
Yeah,
barring your own religion.
Now, people see things in the sky, and people also see things in the distance, and that is, a lot of people have used things that they've seen to say, "Oh, they're testing it," or they were using it. Enter the Fata Morgana Mirage.
I'm glad you said that instead of me.
I think that's how you say it. And Photoshop.
Of course.
Where are we at on this whole cheese muffins, Jay, liking or not liking beans thing?
Dude, I am so sorry. I'm a big
beans fan. I do like some beans, though.
What is the Fata Morgana? Morgana, however you say it. I'm terrible at pronouncing things.
The Fata Morgana is a complex super mirage visible in a narrow band right above the horizon. So, yeah. So this, yeah. You knew that. Everybody knows that.
Right, right, right.
What it is when you look off into the distance in the desert and, like, we're out to sea and ships appear to be above the water, like, at a glance.
Or water when you're out in the desert and you see those mirages. Or when you're driving down the road and it looks like there's water in the distance.
Yeah.
And then you get up to it and there's nothing there. Right.
Yeah, just a normal optical illusion.
Yeah, it's like heat displacement and things like that. And one of the things that it happens with is if you are across the lake from Chicago and you look every once in a while, you can see Chicago, the city, and it looks like the buildings are a few feet up in the air, like there's space, like they're floating. That's one of these things.
That's pretty cool. I live in a town with the tallest building that's probably 200 feet tall.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, right. So we, unfortunately, in Chicago, fortunately, whatever, we can't see across because we don't have anything to look at. But if you're across the lake, if you're in Chicago and you look at the lake, it looks like the ocean. It just,
really,
you know, it's, I mean, yeah, oh, yeah, it's, you know, hundreds of miles across and you know, it just is, it looks, you know, past the horizon. So it looks like the ocean. That's why it's weird to say the lake. The Great Lakes are fucking crazy large. But if you are in some spots, you can see across to Chicago because the sky line is so big and so you can see it, or it looks like it's floating. Yay. So more fun also talking about this whole optical illusion thing. The term, it's Italian, Fata Morgana, however you say it. I looked up, it translates to the name of an Arthurian sorceress. So King Arthur times, Morgan Le Fay, Morgan the Fairy. It comes from that due to belief that these mirages that they often saw in the Strait of Messina were fairy castles in the air or false land conjured up by her witchcraft to lure sailors to their death. So that's fun.
Common theme there.
So people see Mermaids these and things and they point to Project Bluebeam and say, see, because people can see things and they don't exactly make it. When we had our flat earthers on, they go, why do ships disappear across the water? And then all of a sudden you can see them again and they're floating. Well, it's because of optical illusion. No, it's because the fucking earth's flat, you stupid sons of bitches. You know? Yeah. So choose your own adventure on that one.
Why can you see the moon and the sun at the same time? It's flat earth.
Well, it's because they're very small, very close to us. Or I've even heard that there's multiples of them now. That's one I was listening to in a video that I hadn't turned off quite fast enough recently. Anyway, we talked about how the virus has gone viral because the virus has gone viral. Talking about how Bluebeam could be that because they were talking about they could be using it for pandemics and stuff like that. Well, a few years ago, there's a video that you can see that showed it looked like a reflection of a city in China floating above the ground. You should look it up.
I think I have seen this.
Yeah, you can look it up. If you're not familiar, there's a link to it in the description now. They actually have a meteorologist that shows it, and she talks about how it happens. And then she even talks about, but spoiler, it was actually fake. Now, I say photoshopped, but it was, you know, CGI. It does happen, but not at that. The shit wasn't right in the atmosphere for it to be happening at that time. And it was also a little too CGI-y. They said they tested and all this shit.
That's the one problem with like today's technology is you can do absolutely anything with stuff like that. If you train yourself and do enough stuff like that, like all the deep fake stuff that was out a couple years ago, that stuff was wild. Like you could make anybody look like somebody else was doing it.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's only getting better or worse, however you want to say that. It's scary. Yeah. I remember when I had the Atari and the Nintendo NES came out, and I'm like, graphics are fucking crazy. Are they ever gonna get better than this? And then the Nintendo 64 came out, and I'm like, suck my dick. This is fucking, I mean, how?
Well, I just seen a video this week for the Unreal Engine 5 in the new Matrix game, and it's unbelievable.
You should have said Unreal. I'm upset that you didn't. I feel like that was a lost chance, and now if you say it, it's just going to feel forced.
There was a low-hanging fruit there, and I just missed it completely.
I love it when shit like this happens, though, when things are easily debunked as far as people have come out and said that wasn't possible because the atmospheric conditions weren't right, and also we can prove it's Photoshopped, and people still go, nuh-uh, that is, they're dusting off Project Bluebeam, you know, doing a little testing to see who's in on it. And another one that happened is there have been some earthquakes in the past few years, and earthquakes come in clusters, and inner Project Bluebeam truthers that say, well, they have to be doing that. They're testing out the machines. And there have been earthquakes in areas in the last few years that don't actually usually have earthquakes. And many people blame that on fracking or just freak accidents or weather change or Project Bluebeam.
Yeah. You know, that damn science, it gets you every time. You know, just the science of the moving the plates and everything.
It doesn't care if you're wrong. It just keeps on trucking.
I'm sure at some point and somewhere that all of that, like if you had the right person, could explain it to you directly on why.
Yeah, yeah, here's why, insert if I find out what, and if not, I'll cut this part out of the show. No, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, if I was smarter, I could tell you, but just take my word for it. I'll read something and go, that made total sense, and then I'll be talking to my wife and try to explain to her, and I go, I have no idea how to explain it because I've already lost it, but it's true, I tells you. You know, yeah, I don't know.
I do that all the time. I feel like I'm Happy Gilmore, or not Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison in a part of the movie when he's like talking the whole time. And then, like, that is the dumbest thing. We are all now stupider. I feel like that sometimes.
Next up on Hysteria, flaming dog poop and the human response. Oh, please. Oh, please.
Called the shit poop.
He called the shit poop. You got any issues in this story? Are you by the hook, line, and sinker? Where are you at in this?
Yeah, zero. It tracks the whole way.
Right. I am with you.
No, I'm not. I'm yanking your chain.
You can yank my hang low.
No. Well, see what happens. Hey, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life or have a good time. If you're interested, I can send them your way. But otherwise...
I don't know if I have the power grid to keep them running.
Right?
Robot.
Doesn't take much. Just some light beer and bad decisions. One glaring issue as I try to pass up talking about his hang low is that many people, even other conspiracy theorists that aren't on this bandwagon, have noted the similarity in Project Bluebeam's and some popular pop culture of the time, literally right around the time when Sergei came up with this stuff. Specifically, the plot to Gene Roddenberry's unreleased 1975 Star Trek movie treatment, The God Thing, and then even closer to that, 1991, staying with it, Star Trek, The Next Generation's episode, Devil's Due. Yikes, it always sucks when you come out with a theory and then, like, didn't Data lay this out for us with Worf? What?
It's even, like, 20 years or 15 or, yeah, almost 20 years old whenever, from 75 to 94. I mean, it's not like.
Well, and the other one, 91, that was fucking 3 years. 91 was 3 years before he published the book. And, you know, so shit, that's real, real fresh. What he didn't get to that we did is the new Messiah. It was Q from Star Trek. That's the new Antichrist. It was what he was getting at.
I always pictured him as Kurt Russell from Guardians of the Galaxy. So it's just him.
There you go. Oh, Kurt. But like so many conspiracy theorists that come up with these things and are really pushing, because one thing that I wanted to tell a story, and I didn't want to go too hard into Sergei because he was a disgusting individual. And he eventually, when he started putting out these books and getting traction, much like Bill Cooper, then turned from aliens and things to this full anti-Semite dribble. In 95, he even published, it's in French, Les Protocoles de Toronto 666, literally modeled upon the protocols of the Elders of Zion, wherein he said a Masonic group called 666 had for 20 years been gathering the world's powerful people to establish a new world order and control the minds of its individuals. So similar, but different. And if you're not familiar with the protocols of the Elders of Zion, good for you. I'm jealous. Are you familiar with them? Have you heard about them?
Yeah. I'm not like, I don't read the,
you don't celebrate notes. Them. If you're not, real quick, and we've, every time we've even mentioned them on the show, we always get so much hate because people, anyway, don't send it to me. If you don't like this, don't send it. If you're a believer in this shit, but the Protocol of the Elders of Zion is a fabricated, it's anti-Semitic book purporting to describe a Jewish plan for global domination. They think it started in Russia around the turn of the 1900s, and it just took off. And people to this day like to pretend that it's real and use it to justify all sorts of ass hattery,
nice word.
to bring it up easily. You know, we were at, this is a sidebar. My wife and I were sitting at a bar not too long ago, and there's a girl, she just came in. The train is right next to there, like in the commuter train. She gets off, she's having a beer for like a beer waiting. She's there by herself. We're in there. It's quiet. And she just starts talking, not to anyone, to the room. And she starts saying how, starts out with, she's throwing out buzzwords. She's talking about blockchain and talking about decentralizing the currencies and things like that. And I thought she was just going to go into some diatribe about Bitcoin or something. Then she talks about how the Jews are running the world. They're all, as she said, pedophiles, and just goes on to this. And so I actually said, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, shut this anti-Semitic shit up. I looked at the bartender, you know, and they're like, you got to go. Yeah. And she's like, you're all Jews. I have never seen that level of just vibrant hate. And I'm sure a lot of people of different colors and races and religions have, and that's what's scary. It was just an eye-opening, disgusting fucking thing to be a part of. I wouldn't sit there going, yeah, go. You know, I was like, oh, my God. And, of course, I'm the one that I go to say something. My wife's next to me, and as soon as I go, like, what? I start talking. She, like, puts her hand on my leg and squeezes. She's like, please shut up. This is how – she goes, those are those people that, like, then they pull a gun and shoot you. I'm like, well, I guess you'd have a story.
Yeah. It's always one of those, like, and look over at my wife and go, hey, you want to get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, right. Well, this is like our normal, like, hangout. Like, it's not like this. And I knew that they would put a stop here real quick. It was just such a weird, just some people are crazy. And you just forget that, I guess. And let's say that you are of this mind. You know, you don't have to spout it in public. You know, with your sandwich board and your fucking whatever. Anyway,
don't you have a manifesto to go write or something? Well,
this motherfucker sure as hell did. And that brings us to his death, because that's always how these things end. During 95 and 96, Monasti said he was being hunted by the police and authorities for involvement in networks of prohibited information, meaning he knew too much and they were after him.
You and me both, dude.
There is no proof of that, other than the fact that he spent a lot of time in jail for doing stupid bullshit. And you can look up his arrest records and stuff. He was just kind of an asshat. But really, he was just crazy. And he spent this whole time too homeschooling his two children, teaching them his brand of crazy, so much so that they were taken away and made wards of the state in September of 96 so they could receive a public education, because he was an unfit father. Wow.
Yeah, that's like the worst part of this whole thing, if you think about it. You know, first of all, he's giving them his specific brand of batshit crazy. And now they're going into the system of some sort.
Right. You come out of that as one of two ways, either looking at it as like, thank God, or they did this to get us. You know what I mean? And I didn't look into them because I didn't want to. That sounds terrible, but it feels dirty trying to check into the children and shit like that. And regardless, he died of a heart attack at home in December of 96 at age 51, after spending the night in jail, because, you know, that is one of his things that he'd been doing a lot, was getting arrested. So then, of course, his followers claimed that his death was suspicious, suggesting that he was assassinated by psychotronic weapons. Not quite the same as with Mr. Meyer and his water fuel cell yelling, "They poisoned me," as he had an embolism or whatever pop in his head, aneurysm. But I don't know. This guy screams this Bill Cooper, follow me. I'm just a few years away from having his own militia type thing. Doesn't it feel like that to you a little bit?
Yeah, it felt like that to me a lot, you know. In my infancy of really looking into the odd and paranormal and conspiracies and stuff, I had read Behold a Pale Horse. So whenever I came down onto this this topic and you start reading down through it, I'm like, is this the same fucking guy?
Right.
It almost has to be.
If you've read Behold a Pale Horse, Pale Horse Rider, it's kind of a goes along with that. And it's called Pale Horse Rider, William Cooper and the Rise of Conspiracies and the Fall of Trust, blah, 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 blah. It's a good book. We did an episode on Pale Horse, Behold a Pale Horse and Cooper. Yeah. And I always keep thinking that I'm going to do the book on that, which just talks about how these people, the Bill Coopers, the Sergei Monast, that they come to power is the wrong thing, but they get these followings, you know,
oh, yeah.
People want to believe in them. And is it because they're silver tongued devils? Is it because they're preaching a brand of crazy that people want to believe? And I think one thing that is important is the thought of being on the inside or in the know. Even if you're on the failing end, we're the ones that are going to be taken over. We're not part of the New World Order. That's a hell of a drug, right? Like to feel like you're important and you know what's really happening, and fuck everyone else, and you're an idiot if you don't know.
Yeah, you're ahead of the curve from everybody else. You're going to be a survivor, or, you know, the world ends. You're going to be, you know, whatever it comes to be.
Speaking about that, why do these stories like this catch on with so many who seem to need to believe? Because there's a kernel of truth? Is it a lack of education? Is it because they're so educated that they've read too much and everything seems like a conspiracy? Where's your head at with this?
Bad parenting. No.
I mean, maybe. be, I don't know. You know,
but. It could be a lot of things. It could be just somebody that needs that something to bind them to any type of movement, or look at some of the apps and the social media stuff. The
need to fit in, you mean, kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
When we looked at the Heaven's Gate cult, that was a lot of those people needed a place to fit in, and that's where they fit in. You know, society be damned.
You see that with a lot of cults and stuff like that. You know, why are people go in there and give up everything, absolutely everything they have, just to follow somebody? It's mind blowing.
The specter of alone is scary, you know, to a lot of people, I think. And it's just I don't know. I guess it's good that I don't know, because that means that I can't, at least at this moment in my life, wrap my head around it and I'm not going to fall down that. And, you know, in religion, it plays into this too. And he was more preying on religion, telling these stories as in, like, you're the sucker, you're going to fall for this. They're all fake. And that's what he was saying they were going to use. Or he was saying, you know, this religion's good, this one isn't, the Jews specifically. And you're going to be exploited because of it. That ticks a lot of boxes too, because you either have the Christian people that come in, the religious, it doesn't have to be Christian, that come in and go, he's fighting for us, or I don't believe in religion, and there you go. This is one of the reasons they're so gullible. You can almost get both sides of that going along with them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
It's a double-edged sword almost. Like, do you have the people that want to follow and believe in somebody, but on the same side, you have these people probably in their family or anybody of their friends and family telling them not to.
Yeah, all the time. And guess what? You know, if you're I guess it's a choose your own adventure, but if you think you're in a cult, maybe go ask someone and go, hey, does this sound like I'm in a cult? And if they go, yeah, take some stock in your life and see what's going on. But that's coming from me, and I'm a fat guy in an attic right now doing a podcast because he said don't listen to me. That's been my thoughts, though. I don't know. I have no belief in this whatsoever. Jay, do you have any other do you believe whatsoever at all in this conspiracy?
No, not really at all, anything. the pinpoints on it, though, there's you know, just always that little speckle of truth here and there, but it's not enough to hold any of it together.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, that's our thoughts. And Nation, if you want to tell us your thoughts, you can do that by going to Facebook and searching Hysteria Nation. That is our Facebook discussion group. Just hop on Facebook, search Hysteria Nation. Also, while you're on Facebook, facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That is our Facebook page. You can now listen to the show straight from Facebook. You can turn it on and then keep searching Facebook, listen to us in the background ad nauseum. Speaking of listen to us ad nauseum, Patreon, you can get extra episodes, Up All Nights, Mad Blurry Hysterias, lots of radio dramas. Patreon.com/hysteria51. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. If you forget any of my stuff, just go to hysteria51.com. Jay, how can people find you, Project Skeptic, and all you got going on?
Yeah, Project Skeptic on Facebook. We have our Facebook group in there. You can find me on all major pod catchers and stuff like that. Email us at projectskepticpod@gmail.com. We even have a TikTok. You can find us on there. We make videos before we record. That's at Jay Settlemyer
TikTok, on TikTok. You don't TikTok. Stop. And sorry, I talked over you giving that. That's probably more important than my singing there. What was that you were saying?
It's J_Settlemyer at TikTok, or on TikTok, J_Settlemyer.
Well, if you guys go to the show notes, we're going to have links to all this. Please check them out. Give them a like, give them a follow. Give them a review, 5 stars, because you know you need to, and tell them that Brent and Hysteria 51 sent you. Jay, thank you so much for joining me this week and talking Project Clippy, I think is when just the big PowerPoint in the sky and all the fun that is Sergey Monast. Monasty. I know that's not his name, but I just can't stop calling him that because it's funny to me. Yeah, man, we got to do this again. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming up with a weird one in a good way.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Brent, for everything. I had a blast.
With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Jay.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria.